So I call this story dramatic. To set the preface, I was with a group of friends several years ago. This is at least 15, if not further. There were four of us total. We were visiting another church because they were doing a new type of service, and we were trying to get inspired to make some changes or kind of add something to what we were doing at our church. If people felt like things were getting stagnant, and so we were learning. But afterwards, here we were in downtown Fort Worth and decided let's take advantage of being in downtown Fort Worth instead of Arlington, and therefore there's like lunch options. And there was this new place that had just opened recently. And two of us were like, cool, sounds good, because we just heard the description and that was fine. One person, who is named Carolyn, couldn't think of what the name was and it was bugging her. The other person, Don, was very adamant that he knew what the name was. He was right, but it was hysterical. So, this being Carolyn, this being Don. What's the name of that restaurant? You know, it's brand new. They just opened it down the street. Rodeo Goat. No, that's not it. It's something to do with goats. Rodeo Goat. No, like it's, there's something, I can't think what it is, but there's something about goats. Rodeo Goat. No, there's gotta be, I know that's not it. It's like, it's not rodeo. There's something else. It's Rodeo Goat. No, I just don't, that can't possibly, that's not it. Rodeo Goat! That's the level of drama that he had to get to get her to understand. Guess what? It was called Rodeo Goat. It had a nice rodeo theme and everything was goat cheese, so it was really fun. We played all the games, lots of laughter. Excellent salad, by the way. But I hear that story and often in my mind. We laugh at it constantly in our house. It got so hysterical that Don's husband, Rob, and myself just finally walked away and said, they'll figure it out, we'll meet him in the car. And I see that with the Israelites, because they're complaining. God has just brought them out of bondage of slavery. And God hears the complaints. Moses and Aaron hear the complaints. By now we've all heard the complaints. They're just dramatic. But then I think, what are some of the things that we complain about constantly in our day? The things that I hear frequently are, it's been such a long day, that usually can come out of my mouth occasionally. Bills, traffic, the Wi-Fi is not working fast enough. It's too hot, it's too cold. I bet you thought of things. And here we have the Israelites. I'm going to break up this sentence into two different parts because it's a lot of drama. If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat and ate our fill of bread. Apparently food is more important than, you know, being free. For you have brought us out of the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Can you just imagine? And I'm sure God is sitting there listening and going, I heard it. Yes, I heard it. And then God's instruction after providing, because we're still going to be dramatic, was only gather what you need for each person in your house. And yet some gathered more and some gathered less. And I imagine some gathered less because the people who gathered more took what was needed for the people who gathered less. And yet God still made it right. When they measured it, nobody was lacking and nobody had extra. And the only time that you would have extra is for the Sabbath so that you could keep it holy. On a slightly different note, have you thought about your calling? Because
If you've been following through the readings for the week in our emails, then you see this moment of these different things happening where Moses and Aaron were first called by God to be God's voice in this world. And then they had to go and talk to Pharaoh for God. But they did it. And they had to keep saying, "We will show this sign if you will not let our people go." And they had to keep talking to Pharaoh on God's behalf. Jesus, as we heard in the scripture, came to this world to be the bread of life. So we have the bread in the wilderness. We have the bread of life with Jesus. Jesus' mission was to show us who we are, whose we are, and to give us that peace, that life that is eternal. For me, becoming a pastor was never on my bucket list until 2015. I was a teacher, and I had always thought I was supposed to be a teacher until I had a workers' comp injury. I was out of the classroom. I was like, I'm not sure I care if I go back. And it's because it wasn't my calling. And then God and I had a conversation, and God was like, I've been trying to tell you this for like 5 years. Are you ready to talk about seminary? Fine, God, let's have that conversation. Sure. And God made a way. I didn't have to pay tuition to go to seminary because God made a way. And I sat in that first day of theology and went, what did you do? I was not ready. But God knew that I could. I was capable. And now I get to do work with my hospice patients all the time. I get these moments to come up and preach and to be available to people all around this area in so many different ways. And it's so much more than I ever could have imagined. Because God helped me to see what I was called to do. Many of you have your own callings. First responders, teachers, nurses, doctors, engineers, accountants. Even the guy who picks up your trash and your recycling. They feel that's something that they can do to be helpful in this world. It's something where we get to help God's people. So we take on things that we care about, right? For God, it was the Israelites. For the Israelites, apparently it was food. Food is the most important thing, and it is a staple for living, as we know. I just don't know that I would trade it for slavery. For each of us, individually, it's career, family, volunteer work, the things that we care about that we pour into. For this church, it is outreach, music, hunger, preschool, you name it, because so many people are involved in so many things here. And it's wonderful to have so many spaces in this church occupied after church, because it means that we care about something. So I was talking with my mom this week while I was driving to see one of my patients and just had this moment of thinking, what was it like for Moses to realize, oh, you want me to be your voice? I don't do that. And we heard last week about how Moses said, I don't do that. And so God was like, fine, I'll talk to you. You talk to Aaron. Aaron will talk. God's going to make a way. Or maybe some of the other prophets that we know about, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Elijah, Amos, Isaiah. Prophets who were called by God to be the voice. Because so often we think that what we have to hear is God speaking directly to us, when in fact it might be that God has put somebody or something in your path to guide you to that answer. For me, and the seminary question, I was thinking, okay, I need a job where I can like not be expected to stand for 7 hours a day because my foot's a problem. And I was like, this one school has that, it's a 1-year business degree, I'll just get my master's in business and you know, then I can finally get a job, because apparently if you have a music degree, nobody thinks you're capable of being anything. And I would talk to a former pastor of mine and a very good friend, and she said, "Why are you not looking at seminary?" I said, "'Cause I'm not." Then I was talking with another pastor friend, like, "So why are you not going down the street to Bright Divinity School?" I was like, "Because that's not what I was called to do, right?" And then it was a third friend. Really, God was making a point. This friend, who, when I graduated with my bachelor's, said to my mom after my graduation, "I won't be surprised if we see her going to Bright Divinity School one day." And both mom and I laughed and were like, "Let's use the degree that I just spent a lot of money getting first. Let's do that." And it was that same friend who then saw that I was struggling with what to do next. And she happened to be in her pastoral care class, where her assignment was to sit down with somebody who was struggling with something in their life and help them figure out a way or a solution to what they were struggling with. "Sure, I'll let you buy me a free cup of coffee so I can be your person. And yeah, I don't know what I'm doing with my life right now." So we sit down, and 3 hours later, we have talked through, like, "Well, what are some things that interest you?" I'm like, "Well, I really liked being around the kids. I just hated the bureaucracy. I'm like, so maybe I could, like, work with a preschool or do this. But I like when I can talk about my faith, and I couldn't do that in public education." And, you know, we're talking. And she's like, "Why are you not applying to Bright?" And so finally I said, "Fine, when I get home, I will look up Bright Divinity School's page, and I will see what it says." And darn it, I fell in love. And God kind of sat up there and went, "Told you so." I know it. I'm very aware. I think, you know, we are all at some point on God's comedy channel, and that was one of my moments. But it was me looking at this page, and they had this one section that said, "If this is a career in ministry that interests you, these are the things that you need to know about what requirements for your degree and for anything beyond." And at that time, chaplaincy was just really calling to me, and I find out, well, you should focus on pastoral care, get your MDiv, do pastoral or clinical pastoral education in a hospital setting. So I did all the things, and then I did congregational, and turned out I fell in love with that too, with an internship. And it was all of these things that kept reminding me, "Told you so. This is where you're called." Listening to others as God's voice is hard, but it's worth it. Because when we think about it, God listens to us in our struggles, just as those Israelites were complaining that they were hungry. They wanted food. And God heard the cries and then provided not just something, but enough for everybody to have exactly what they need. You had meat in the evenings. You had bread in the mornings. Everybody was met their needs exactly as necessary. And it was enough for everyone. Just like Jesus, being the bread of life, was enough for everyone. We take on the things that we care about. I said that earlier. And if you remember, several months back, I said something about if it's repeated, it must be... If it's repeated, it must be important. We take on the things that we care about. For God, it's humanity. For humans, it's our vocation, our family. For us, it's personal and communal ministry. The things that we take on and say, "That's the bread that God gave me to give to you." Listening isn't easy, but it is worth it. And when we do, we find that abundance, not just of food, of resources, but we get filled with love. We've got God's love running through our veins. God knew us in the womb. We were created as beings of love. And when we take on the things that we care about, we're saying, I love what this is so much that I will pour what I have into it. Ministry for me in hospice, for our outreach, for YAGM, for the preschool, for stuff at the border, for our immigrants, all those things that we take on, we're saying, you are a child of God who deserves to be filled with what you need and to know you are loved. Amen.